how inspired the writer of that song must have been when he wrote that. And I'd just like to call attention to the last two verses. When he says, if I can get it here, he speaks about the five wounds that he says cry for us. They strongly speak for us. And that the appeal of those wounds is to forgive us. And then the last verse, he now owns us as a child, and I can no longer fear. And then he says, I think quoting out of Hebrews probably, with confidence I now draw near, and Abba Father, cry. And I think those words ably express what we feel this morning when we come to a time where we have examined ourselves, we've looked inside, and no doubt we have found some things we don't like, and some things that others don't like, and some things that even God doesn't like. But bringing those to Him in a fresh way is perhaps the gift that we can bring Him, our humility and our brokenness, and then He meets us at where we need Him. What a gift to be gathered this way. Some of you weren't here on Wednesday evening or didn't have the opportunity to express yourself to one of the ministers privately, and so I'm going to start off by inviting those of you who would like to commune here this morning and did not have that opportunity to stand at this time. Okay, we'll start over here with Jolene. That I enjoy and have come to appreciate about these palpable emblems, these things that we taste, these things that we touch, and we handle them. I'm just interested that our Creator, when He instituted this this remarkable ritual, and it is maybe I should say ceremony, because maybe ritual has a bad connotation, but at least this ceremony, He gave us something that we can get a hold of. He knows how physical we are and how much we relate to what's tangible. But that's why He also gave us other symbols and ordinances that help us to understand the principles that underlie, or maybe I should say this way, that helps to remind us of the principles that underlie what we do. And so that is a gift. And while I realize that we believe that we make every effort we can to follow the ordinances the way that they are taught and to live them, I realize there are other people, there are other Christians who feel the same way about what they do. And so this is not sitting in judgment on them, but it is to say that I cast my lot with this people and with our understanding of the Scriptures and how we practice them. Would also like to open it up if there's someone who would like to make a public expression or public confession of any kind, we'd like to open it up for that. Is there someone? Well, if not, then we will proceed. Brother Oren will be bringing the message, pardon me, not the message, but the opening, the meditation, and then Brother Julian will be reading the scripture, and Brother Paul A. will follow with the message then. Brother Oren.
I also am delighted to be here. You know, I always am blessed so much by hearing the expressions of the few of you that were not in our council meeting. And thank you for each one of you. As we think of examining ourselves, one of the things I think about is it is right that we do the things like Sanford just mentioned. There's something I need to make right or something like that. That's a part of it. And then I also remember that, and this is kind of the burden of this devotional is our resting in Christ. I mean, that's after all what this is about. And so, like Paul said to the Corinthians, examine yourselves whether ye are in the faith. And that being in the faith does have outward expressions. It does have things that we do. But in the same vein, and by the way, you can turn to the book of Galatians. I'm going to refer to a few other verses, but that was a burden that Paul had, that the Galatians weren't straying from the true faith. I have really been blessed by our time this week, and kind of in the vein of some of the things Brother Paul was bringing out, looking at heart things. This week we heard that we need to look beyond symptoms to causes, we need to look beyond outward actions to condition of the heart. And the first evening in the book of Mark, this verse: "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Reminded me of something that Elmer Lapp used to say: "The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart." Now, struck by something that I had never thought about before, whoever divided the scripture into chapters and verses did it so we can easily find the scriptures in an orderly way. There's two 29:13s. That verse from Mark that I read a bit ago is a quote from Isaiah 29:13. And I thought this morning, what a contrast to Jeremiah 29:13. You see, in Isaiah, it talks about a people that honored God with their lips, but their heart was far from him. But in Jeremiah 29:13, and this is the context of this verse is the people were in captivity, and the reason they were is their heart had been far from him, and even their outward actions had definitely displayed that because of idol worship. And then at the end of the 70 years, here's the promise that God gave them. And I think this one is probably a familiar verse: "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." That's Jeremiah 29:13, and Isaiah 29:13 is, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." So God's promise to those people that search in that way says, "I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will return again your captivity." So this reminds us that the tendency for those people back then was a religiosity. Back there in those Old Testament times, Jesus was saying that in his day, and there's that tendency in our day. One of the things I've been thinking about is, what is the essence of the gospel? What is the heart of the gospel message? And we're here to celebrate what Christ has done. He has set us free from the bondage of sin. But Paul's burden to the Galatian Christians that he was writing to was, yes, you've been set free from the bondage of sin, but don't come under another kind of bondage. And then want to apply that to ourselves. And the thing he was talking about was requiring circumcision, and by extension, the keeping of the law. So what was he warning about? What was he saying? You're saved by faith in Christ, but you're kept by a system. Now, that's my way of saying it. But people don't do it. And let me just read a number of verses from Galatians. In chapter 1, I marvel, and in verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there would be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For I fear. For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And then in chapter 3, the first 7 verses. And here the burden is, you started well, but I think you're getting off the track. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? That's the concept there, is what I was saying a bit ago. You're saved by faith in Christ, but you're kept by a system. I mean, that was what seemed was happening. Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And then maybe just turning back to the last verse of the chapter before, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is died in vain. And then 3:24 to 28. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now then, turning to chapter 5 and looking at some verses there yet. Now it seems to me that there's a warning in chapter 5 against two things, against legalism and against licentiousness. And the warning throughout the book of Galatians has mostly been against legalism. Depending on things. Now, in verses 1 to 4, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. You see, we've been set free from the bondage of sin, so don't be entangled again, I'm going to say, in the yoke of legalism, that you be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. But then verse 13. And that says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And so, as we've heard this week, there is sometimes what we call saving grace, and then there is enabling grace. There is the the remembering that we did not, the things that we can do are not what save us, But then it is not that the freedom that we've been called to gives license, and that sometimes we use the term licentiousness. You see, you've been called into liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And so the grace of God, as I think Julian mentioned the one evening, teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. So we don't want to get off on that side, but the emphasis this morning is more on let's be careful that we do not trust in religiosity. So how does that apply to us, and how do we keep from making the same mistake that the Galatian Christians apparently were making? Just a few comments on that. You know, there are some that are of other persuasions than our own fellowships, some other denominations perhaps, that would categorize any group standards or brotherhood discipline as legalism. And perhaps for ourselves, it is easy to look at the broader scene and see that an emphasis to grace, or on grace, to the extent that it kind of ends up simply being individual choice and with no apparent, or maybe I should not say no, but without much apparent brotherhood accountability, can end up being license and a lack of holy living. So we just recognize that there's tendencies both ways. So our concern this morning, and what we've been hearing this week, is that holy living is really from the heart and not merely looking right. I remember years ago I was in conversation with Irvin Hershberger, and he made an interesting statement, which I think maybe I have quoted here already. I don't remember whether I have as in public, but I think I've said it to some of you. He recognized a tendency among our people. He was talking about our particular fellowship group. He said that we can end up being cultural Christians rather than spiritual Christians. Now, I'm not here this morning to de-emphasize doing or application. And it always, in life, it always does end up at some point coming down to an importance on the things that we do. But let's just keep the proper balance. One of the things I happened to think about when I was thinking about these things was something that Simon Schrock said, and I'm still not sure that I understand exactly where he was coming from, but I think it's worthy of our consideration. One of the things he said was that our greatest strength can become our greatest weakness. And someone else said that truth out of balance becomes heresy. So I think we want to be a people that emphasize the truths of Scripture, that don't emphasize certain ones to the expense of others. So the emphasis is not simply on what we're doing, but why we're doing what we're doing. And one of the things that that someone said years ago, and that I've often thought about since, pondered some, is talking about some of the group kinds of things that we do, the standards. The statement was this, that we don't do them in order to be saved, but in order to keep saved. And one of the things that I would like to remind us of this morning is that 1 Peter 1:5 says, we're kept by the power of God. So let's be pretty careful about what we mean if we ever say what I just quoted someone as saying years ago. We're kept by the power of God. And again, the emphasis this morning is not to de-emphasize application and doing. It is to do what we do for the right reasons, why we do it. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And then in Colossians 2:6, Paul writes there to the Colossians and says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Well, how did they receive him? By faith. So how do they walk in him? By faith. Well, we're here to celebrate what Christ has done to save us and to keep us. And I want to say what numerous of you said this morning. I'm looking forward to this time together. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be a part of this body. It's a pleasure to work with this body. And I believe accountability is important. And I want to be accountable. And just thank you for being my brothers and sisters. Let's kneel for prayer.
Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. We just invite you to speak to each one of us and apply what is said this morning to individual hearts. You can take the same word and apply it individually, and you're so willing to do that, so help us to open our hearts to you. As we celebrate this time, may it just be meaningful again as we remember what Christ has done for us, and then help us to go and to be brothers who care one for another, who help each other along the way. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the scripture reading, I invite your attention to Matthew chapter 26. Would you stand for the reading of the word? Those who are able. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the cities to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" He said unto him, "Thou hast said." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then says Jesus unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him,
Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him, and fled. You may be seated.